Hey friends, I'm David Rice. Welcome back to Dentistry Unmasked with my partner in crime as usual.
Hey everybody, Pam Maragliano Muniz, and today's guest is awesome. He's going to help me with a problem. So, oh my gosh, and I think a lot of practices can relate. So, I don't want to talk about the C word, but I'm going to sort of bring it up. So, in 2020, when we reopened our offices, it was like opening the freaking floodgates, right? It was like every patient that like under the sun just like needed to get into your practice. And I remember us being crazy overworked and overwhelmed. And we were like, oh, I don't want to like not be grateful, but I hope this will settle down and calm down. And here we are 4 years out. And that really hasn't happened, minus like flu season and people, you know, call out that kind of thing. But I think a lot of people as a result are like, oh, you know what? Maybe I just won't market anymore. Maybe I just won't do whatever. Maybe I can just dump the jerks in the practice, like try to like figure things out to make things even up. But there's actually a mindful approach we can take to really like even things out, but continue the growth and not make it such a zoo. So with us to help us understand what we can do for our practices and our sanity is John Riley. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Pam and David. I'm excited to be here with the two of you. I love your podcast.
Thank you. So, you know, it's fascinating, Pam, because I find we talk an awful lot about what do I do to bring new patients in? And we don't talk enough about what do I do when I'm doing well and my hygiene department is busy and how do I build a strategy and how do I have a vision and take advantage of this moment as opposed to maybe squandering this moment, waking up in 6 months or a year or 2 years and feeling like, whoa, I missed it. So, John, like, I'm so pumped to hear how we maximize this opportunity when we're seeing this in our practices.
Oh, yeah. And this is what I get to wake up every day and help doctors do. But you just nailed it, David, is that when doctors get this point of when they're just so full and they just can't see straight, they're frustrated, they might be losing patients or whatever, they don't understand that this is actually when they might be in control of the practice when it might feel out of control, right? So this is the time to say, what can I do to be able to now become a master sorter with maybe the patients that you don't really want that are kind of wasting your time?
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the things I really appreciate is you foundationally have kind of like four levels. Mm-hmm. To, you know, how you look at a practice. And Pam, you had a thought, so run with it. But like, I feel like those four levels sort of come into play when a practice is in this position.
Yeah, I think hit us with the four levels and then I will chime in. I mean, it's just interesting that as a practice owner, you know, it's almost like we go in phases, you know, and I think that,
exactly.
you know, it's one of those things where we're like, all right, right now we're focusing on being too busy, you know, but, you know, then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, like school vacation week comes and like things happen. And then all of a sudden it's almost like feast or famine. And I know it doesn't have to be that way. So hit us with your four levels first. And then let's bet.
I'll give you a 30,000 foot view of the four phases. I could spend, you know, hours and hours on this. There's so much depth to it, but I'll give you the four phases. And why are the four phases of practice mastery? We created this post COVID for this exact reason, that really helping doctors to understand, putting them in control and, you know, really giving them the levers that they can pull at any given time. And the four phases of practice mastery is a tool that every doctor is on this journey at some point in that process in these four phases. So I'll just go over them to you really quick and then we can kind of break them down. Phase one is where every doctor starts. It's really a web presence foundation or phase, is that this phase is absolutely critical. It's kind of like perio, is that a lot of patients want to get to the sexy veneers, right? But like, hey, hold on, we got to take a step back. We got to take care of those 5 millimeter pockets, right? In order to have a good foundation to build upon, or else those veneers will not adhere. They're not going to stay and it's not good dentistry. So therefore, same thing goes when it comes to marketing, is that the phase one is really about getting your foundation on Google to be so good that Google makes you look good. Because why? You're first making them look good We always have to play by Google's game. It's crazy, I know. Some people are just so adamant against Google, but Google controls the market. 90-95% of the market is really Google. There's some other players in there. But if we make Google look good first, because everything's aligned with all your attribution, so all of your listings, all your website, all of your social media, all those components have the same exact content, the same brand and vision of who you actually are, doctor. That's what the Web Presence Foundation is, because if you go to any one of those listings and it's different information, Google dings you because you're no longer congruent, right? So that's phase one. That foundation doesn't take long for a doctor to get that. I mean, we can do that in 3-4 weeks. It doesn't take long. They can stay in that phase for as long as they want, because it's the doctor's goal, not ours. Phase two is when a doctor has that foundation, then they say, okay, now I'm ready. I want to start growing my business. And they kind of like veneers, they've been wanting to grow their business, but we had to take care of that foundation first in phase one. So now they've graduated to phase two. Now they're ready to, we're probably 80-85% of doctors kind of reside. It doesn't mean they stay there, but they all start in that phase one, phase two mode, growing their practice with better fee-for-service style patients, really attracting a better patient in the practice. That's the core fundamental of phase two, right? There's not much other sizzle to it besides really just getting that foundation of really building the lifeblood of your practice, which is new patients, right? And then ultimately, we believe that the future of your practice is built in hygiene. So now those patients are going into hygiene, accepting treatment through hygiene. And then, of course, the doctor's column is full with restorative. That phase two is where every doctor starts along with phase one, but they get those two in place. Now they can really determine, do I want to take my practice to the next level? Phase one and phase two are what we call needs-based phases. They need that, right? And so needs-based phases are handled, let's say. Now they're ready. Now they have a full, like we started talking about here today. Now they're ready to say, okay, I'm full. My hygiene's full. What do I do? Do I step back in marketing, or do I become even more intentional about sorting, pulling some levers, going into phase three, which is the profitability phase, getting out of those nasty PPOs? Maybe this is, again, the doctor's call, saying, hey, is it time that we now stop seeing children because we don't want to see children? We'll leave children for the pediatric doctor. Then as they age out, we'll get those patients back. That's phase three, is really the profitability phase. Why is phase three one of the most critical phases of all the phases? Is because a doctor gets paid, right? And now we can match their clinical skill and their patient base. They're now the same. Now we can have a patient that's really attracting a better patient into the practice. The doctor's happy, you're gonna find more fulfillment. Then when they say, okay, now I'm out of PPOs, now phase four comes in, which is the lifestyle and career phase, where these doctors can now say, I've been trained in implants, or I've taken all these amazing courses through Ignite and Ignite DDS, and now I'm ready to start doing a lot more clinical dentistry that I've never been able to do because I've been doing inlays and onlays till the cows come home because of those PPOs. Now that I'm in control, now I can start doing implants, all in fours, full arch, IV sedation, whatever it is that they, you know, aspire to do. That phase four is not just a service oriented, it's really a lifestyle fulfillment phase. Reduce your doctor days, enjoy more time with your family, increase revenue per patient, increase revenue in the practice. So those are the quick overview of the four phases of practice mastering. Every doctor is in one phase or another at some point, and it's really just giving them the courage to say, now I'm in control because I'm packed, now let's move to the next level.
This sounds like a natural progression to the life cycle, if you will, of a practice as a doctor matures. But could you be doing this in a different order? Like, could you be feeling like you're overwhelmed and being like, I got to get rid of this? A lot of people we talk about all the time about, you know, emotionally breaking up with third party payers. Like they have a big case, they kind of screw you, you're like pissed, and you're like, I'm just going to dump them. And, you know, but maybe their foundation isn't there. Like, so is there a perceived, you know, like, is there like ways that you think that you're at level three, but you really, really need to kind of get back to the basics? Like, how do you identify if you're not in order here?
Yeah, great. Fabulous question. Great question. Well, in that situation, we wouldn't take the doctor back to phase one, right? We would say, hey, let's fix, as we're in process of your, what we'll say, treatment plan, but in this situation, the strategic plan for their practice is that if they just joined us and they've been marketing and they've been focusing on, you know, implants or this or that or the other, and they just haven't realized, well, I can't really ever seem to make it, right? Well, the PPO companies might be taking all their revenue and they don't have a good foundation on in phase one. So what we would do is say, hey, listen, let's fix phase one while you're still in phase three, which is getting out of those PPOs. Because like you said, doctors out of emotion, they might say, I'm out, just get me out now. And so they might be running down that path and not really have a plan. And so we might help to come in and save them to where it's a matter of making sure that you're dotting your I's and cross your T's in that situation to keep as retain as many of those patients as possible. But the four phases of practice mastery is not a, it doesn't need to be a series, you know, going from one to the next. It can absolutely be in parallel. We have doctors all the time say, I want to do phase one, phase two. I won't even start phase three right away, right? When that doctor is going to be investing more to do that because we need to make sure that we're building the foundation for the patient that they will lose in, you know, dropping a PPO, but it all can be done depending on what the doctor wants.
I like that. So it feels like we can each be in control of our destiny. It's really based on, I'm going to say one, maybe like stomach muscle. How, you know, how, exactly. How fast do we think we can run this race? And then, and then two, I think it's about trust and the wallet muscle. And the more I'm willing to invest at one time, the faster I can go. And maybe the more I need to build trust and do this, I can go a little slower and work myself through.
Right. You just nailed it too. I'm going to give you a quick example. We have a doctor in Washington that started with us, and his goal was, he bought a $700,000 practice. His goal was to be at 2 million within 3 years. And he says, well, I'm going to start it out, John. I'm willing to pay you $2,000 a month. And I said, hey, I'm grateful that you're willing to invest, but we're actually not going to take you as a client. And he's like, why would you say that? And I said, well, because it's kind of like someone saying, I'm ready for full arch dentistry, but only willing to give you $2,000. It's just not going to cut it, right? So it's not about a dollar figure. It's about, are we going to be able to stand behind the return on investment at that point to say, so if they were going to invest $2,000 in this situation with his goals being so high, he's not going to get there. Therefore, our name is on his practice. And I would be setting our company up for failure if we brought that doctor on board just because he was willing to quote unquote pay us. Just like a patient saying, I want Invisalign, and yet they're 5 millimeters deficient on the maxillary arch. They're not a candidate for Invisalign, right? Even though they're willing to pay you $5,000. Same kind of situation. So I told him what the proper investment was, and he goes, okay, I'll do it. Well, you just said it perfectly, is at this point he starts to get that trust. And then he went all in. He over quadrupled his actual marketing budget. This is not about selling anything right here at all. This is zero. But in his situation, he wanted to be at that $2 million mark. We got him at that $2 million mark from 700 to 2 million in like 16 months. And because it was his, how aggressive he wanted to be and tying everything together, we have doctors all the time that say, hey, I'm going to start real slow. I'm really slow and methodical. It's your practice, doctor. We run at your pace, not ours.
I need to give a little shout out or an acknowledgement to some of the practices that are still struggling with not having enough hygienists or not having enough team members here. And I feel like some of them might hear this and say, all right, that all sounds well and good, except it's not a reality for me in my practice because I'm currently crippled by not having the workforce behind me to properly grow. So what do you say to a practice like that? Because there's certainly a lot of them out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you would not want to invest in marketing to drive in more patients if you're not able to see them. That's just plain and simple. So what we would want to do is really develop a strategy to be able to make sure that those patients that they're, so for instance, if that practice had an abundance of patients, but didn't have the ability because they don't have the team members. And we've saw this all throughout, you know, from 2020 till now, is that we've seen so many doctors that they didn't have the team to be able to support the growth, right? And so what we said is let's make sure to tailor it to fit your current situation, because we don't have a point of diminishing return. We want to make sure that your dollars are being invested properly. So in those situations, we would look at, is there any PPOs that could reduce your stress level? And you, let's say if they didn't find an assistant. A good example, I have a doctor in Knoxville that lost three assistants, single doctor, lost three assistants in post-COVID. And he didn't know what he was going to do, right? So, well, of course, we're not going to say, keep the gas down. It's not going to work, right? So everything is tailored to fit that practice. So in that situation, what we did is said, listen, let's reduce, this is the time right now to reduce the PPOs, the ones that are not paying you well, because you can't afford to take those on when you have the potential of losing good, solid fee-for-service patients. So if there's, Dr. Smith that we're talking to right now that's out there that has that situation, you're actually in control, or you can actually focus on, let's say you're looking at all your different, what we call people groups, right? You have, let's say, 30 different people groups with every types of insurance, fee-for-service, membership club, and then all the other PPOs and non-PPOs. Is we have to look at it and say, well, what people group is not really wanting to get healthy? This is your time to be able to say, those are the ones that you should drop. And done strategically, of course, I'm not telling them to say, go do it right now after the end of this podcast. But the piece is that it can be done strategically, and you can find many minor wins while you're looking for good team members.
I think that's important. I think that's a great example of where you were sharing earlier, based off your question, Pam, where sometimes those phases run parallel with each other, and all of a sudden we think we're here, but we need to pull this phase back in. And getting your house in order is, going to be critical to people's success. So you have one of the coolest things you've shown me in the past. Like, you have a tool that helps, yes, to show me if I unplug X PPO or Y PPO, the impact it has on my practice based on my patient and my demographics. I think that's a really strong asset that practices, Pam and I, we talk about data all the time, and that's hard data we can use to make great choices.
Oh, man.
Yeah, tell us more about that tool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, it's so good. You'll love it. This is actually funny. It's not meaning to be, I'm serious here. It's called the Practice Assessment Tool that we lovingly call PAT. So it's not a fancy name, but PAT has been the best friend of doctors since 2021, since we created it, for this exact reason, is it putting doctors in control. So what this software has, it has 8 different modules in it. This is not what I'll say today's dentistry. This is really tomorrow's dentistry. There's a lot of good softwares out there that run today's dentistry, a lot of the big ones. And if doctors use them and they're integrated with it, great, keep using that. What this software is the most unique software I've ever seen, and I'm grateful that our team has created it. A team member of ours, his name is Tyson Edwards. He's just a genius. And what we did is we created this software to help doctors understand, what does my tomorrow look like? What is my capacity? So there's a capacity simulator with let's say a practice has 4 ops and they're doing, $1 million. I'm just going to make it up. And they want to go to 6 ops. What is that going to do? It's not just a 50% more, but what's that going to do with the team? How's it going to max out the team? How soon is, at the current pace with new patients and everything else, that new patients, the collections, the conversion with the treatment from the doctor, with all of those things, hygiene production, all of those things, how quickly are we going to get to 6 ops full and maxed out? When do we need to add another hygienist? When do we need to add another associate? And a good example is a doctor says, hey, I think I'm going to be maxed out in the next year and a half, 2 years, and they need to figure out, when am I going to start needing to build or buy or move my practice, because I don't have any, these 4 walls are as far as I can go. So these 6 or 7 ops is the max. Well, this gives the doctor the ability to just kind of see into the future, a capacity simulator that gives them the ability to see into the future, to where it gives them certainty because it's all their data. So we can tap into Open Dental, EagleSoft, and Dentrix right now, which covers close to 85% of the market. long story short is that that's one of the modules. I'll go over just a couple more. There's a lot of other stuff that's in there that we can go with production, you know, per doctor and so on. But they can get a lot of that in their own software if they know how to, you know, function with it. But the keys to this one, there's three core areas besides the capacity simulator. The other one is that's phenomenal is the PPO analysis. Is that this analysis we can tell us, okay, you could afford to drop 32% of your patients and actually come out on the plus side from a collection side, because we know where they're at from a fee-for-service standpoint, where they're at with this bottom dweller PPO, XYB PPO. Then we know that, okay, you could drop 32%. The average is 15 to 30% that you're going to drop. We don't ever guarantee that they're going to drop, you know, 36% or 26% or 15%, because it's really dependent on how the goodwill of the doctor, how many PPOs are in the area, how many patients use those PPOs in the area with other businesses. But we know the average is 15 to 30. So this tool will then give the doctor confidence, go, oh, I didn't even think about, because they always think loss, right? I can afford 25% loss. They're thinking collections. It's not collections. Is it this tool helps them to see, oh, I could lose 25% of my patients, but gain $250,000 in revenue and open up 250 slots in my schedule. Now you want to go from 184 days down to 160. Well, this is how we do it. So that's the capacity simulator and the insurance simulator. Then the other key point, there's actually two other like top modules, is the other one is an area where it's a financial candlestick to where we get to see what areas of their practice, even though that we're not a CPA and we never will be, or we're not, you know, a wealth manager, we want to look at everything from a financial standpoint. Why? Because if the doctor is hemorrhaging money out of, you know, one or two areas of their practice, they should know about it. We just point it out and say, go talk to your CPA, go talk to your wealth manager. Here, you need to really look at these different areas and fix those, because if you don't fix those, I don't care how good we are at marketing, you're hemorrhaging money out the back door, because those things are out of, you know, it could be supplies, it could be your overhead, it could be this or that or the other. It gives them the tools to go, oh, I need to go look at that. Or no, I actually know that because I'm intentional about my supplies and I have the best lab on the planet. So I'm willing to be in, you know, at the 100th percentile or whatever, because they're all benchmarked against other doctors. Then the last area is what we're excited about. We just launched is a fee service, a fee schedule review, to where we can actually look at, and it's a whole process that we can actually show graphically, not just from a spreadsheet, but show graphically how the doctor is in comparison to all their fees, which ones are kind of standouts, and which ones are absolutely low. And you put it graphically, then they go, oh, I can see that this one and this one need to be raised right away. I have no idea why they're at the 45th percentile. Let's get those up to 70%. Now, if it's a gateway fee, we're going to recommend, like with exams and cleanings and so on, we're going to recommend that they don't ramp those up so quickly, because again, that's what patients understand. But if it's a non-gateway fee, that patients kind of like the lube and oil filter, everybody knows it's going to be between $49 and $79, right? If it goes up to $179, like, whoa, I'm going to go find somebody else, right? So these four modules, along with others, really help to understand what's tomorrow's practice, what's the opportunity, what can I do in these four walls with this team or expanded team? And it really gives doctors the assurance that I'm moving in the right direction, or I need to.
This is so interesting. I have to ask you, David, because I feel like you hear this and you're like, wow, that sounds great. This is awesome. And I think that there's something to be said for an objective approach to what may or may not be going right in your practice. So, David, you've had a practice for a long time. Did you ever receive objective information that forced you to take action on your practice? Like, and how did that feel? Because I feel like this all sounds great, but I think that there's like maybe a discomfort or maybe a little anger that might take place that might prompt an action.
I love that. And so I feel like this is confession time. The answer is yes. I have received objective data on my practice. And I'll tell you, these are not the phases of emotions you go through if someone passes away in your family. But the first one is like cold sweat. Oh my gosh. Because I think as humans, we have a tendency to either be like super optimistic and we find the good in everything, or we're pessimistic and we find the problem in everything. I'm kind of an optimist guy. Yep. So I was finding good in all these things that maybe there wasn't good in. It felt great, but it wasn't great. Emotion two was, okay, deep breath. What are we going to do about this? My choice is ignore the data and just put my blinders on, which I could have really easily done. I'm like a great cornerback. I can forget letting the guy score a touchdown on me in 10 minutes. But we, you know, thankfully my partner Mark is a smarter man than I am, and a very analytical guy. And Mark was like, well, no, listen, we have it in front of us now. Now we just have to have a strategy. And I think, John, to your point earlier, we could bite it off a little piece at a time, or we could take mm-hmm. big bites. But that's a great question, Pam, because it was hard to hear, really hard to hear. So dentists, when you're listening and watching, it's going to be hard to see. It's going to be hard to hear. We're not talking about social media where we all make $20 million a year and take 14 weeks of vacation a year. The reality is, no matter how healthy our practices are, there's stuff. So don't be afraid of your stuff. Get some objective data, face the music, and then address it a bit at a time. How about you, Pam?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I could go on and on for days about the crazy stuff that's gone down in my practice, but I'll share one. And it prompted me to have to make a staffing change. So all the records were just messed up. So when I bought my practice, they used to keep the ledger in triplicate. It was in these little cardboard things, like a Rolodex looking thing. And then there was like something else. And then it was sort of in Dentrix. And I had somebody come in to kind of help clean it up because I wanted everything centralized within Dentrix. And much to my dismay, I had $14 million of unclosed insurance claims, because for the history of having Dentrix, they just never closed the claim. Like, they just didn't know to do it, just never did it, whatever. And I was like, my goodness, like, this is, number one, like, kind of scary. Also, the record keeping and the accounting for the practice was so bad that I was like, did I even pay the right amount for this freaking behemoth? Like, what did I do? And I ended up having to make a major staffing change as a result, because they had no clue that this, like, was not okay. And so, yeah, I feel like for me, David, you're so positive, and I think that's why I adore you, because you're like so all the things that I'm not. Like, I was so mad, and I was like, what do I need to do? I got to fix this. And I think it's one of those things that it's a smack in the face reality. But I think sometimes we need that to move into a direction that's going to set us up for success. Gosh, I mean, we spend our whole life in education preparing for this job with zero in knowledge about business. And then all of a sudden, when things don't go well, you know, we're kind of backtracking and whatever. But I love these phases where you can kind of, you know, see where you're at and obviously grow in an intentional way. And I think that that's something that works for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think, to your point, whatever your emotion is as a practice owner, that's the right emotion, because it's authentically you. I think when we own it, whatever that emotion, you know, negative, positive, happy, sad, then we've got an opportunity to fix it. So I don't know how 30 minutes just blew by, FYI. But it did. So, John, this is amazing. This is amazing information. How do our listeners, how do our viewers find you? What's the best way?
How do they meet Pat?
Yeah.
How do they meet Pat?
How do they meet Pat?
Is it simply to go to amplify360.com, and there's a simple form that you can fill out. If you want to know more about Pat or want to understand these four phases, we're not here to sell you anything. We're here to get you healthy, just like you are with your patients. Sure, there might be some marketing strategy and components that we might do to help you to take you to the next level, but our goal is all about education and really to give you the freedom to be able to practice the way that you wanted to back in dental school.
Amazing.
There was a dream at one point.
I know, right? It's like, now that we're like old and in it and jaded, we're like, what the hell? But no, I think that's not even true. In fact, I love dentistry more and more with each passing year. That's actually 100% honest truth. So, all right, John, thank you so much for joining us. Every time I spend time with you, I'm always so happy. So I look forward to seeing you again.
Well, thank you guys for having me. And man, this is a great jam-packed 30 minutes. It flew by. It felt like five.
It did.
It really did. So everybody, join us next week at Dentistry Unmasked. Don't forget to write us a little review if you like us. If you don't tell anybody. And we will see you all next week. Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening to the show this week. And thanks to our guests and sponsors on this episode.
Please check out our social media at Dr. Pamela_Maragliano and at Dental Economics Official.
Or you can check me out at Ignite DDS or at Dr. David Rice.
And go to dentaleconomics.com to receive dental economics. You can choose to receive DE in print or digitally, and you can also get the details of our Principles of Practice Management Conference on our website.
If you have topics or guests or anything you'd like to talk about on the show, send us an email to dentistryunmaskedpodcast@gmail.com, and we will do our very best to make it happen. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.